Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
If you leave a child to himself for 3 years, you will have a monster. And if you don't take care of the monster, when they get to 16, you will have a sociopath at that point, because people are absolutely selfish. And so when we're raising kids, what we're doing is we're turning little barbarians into, you know, civilized people. That's what's going on. And so I always recognize that about my kids. Bethany was always pretty cute. She was really compliant. And, you know, I said that she got deceptive. What grade was she in when she did her thing? Did I tell you guys this story? I don't know. I'm not going to ask her. She shouldn't have done it if she didn't want it told. She lives in a pastor's house. By the way, every time I would tell a story about my kids, I'd pay them $5. So they never minded. So what grade was she in when she did that whole thing with Wednesday nights? Third grade, I think she's a doll baby, right? And so my wife calls me over to the school, and Bethany's standing there, and I have no idea what's going on. And so she's standing there, she's kind of looking down, and Bobby goes, Bethany has something to tell you. And so I leaned down, and I got my hands on my knees. I can't do that talking to the microphone, but I got my hands on my knees, and I'm just looking in her little face like this. And she starts telling me, and this is what she told me. I told the teacher that you told me that you were mad because she was giving homework on Wednesdays, and we had to go to church on Wednesday, and you didn't want her to do it anymore. That's what she told me. And Bobby just laughed at me afterwards. She said, you should have seen your face, because it's all this, Daddy loves his little girl sweetness and niceness and all that kind of stuff. And then my face is getting, you know, starting to droop and getting a frown and then getting like, you did what? And that kind of thing. And what happened was the teacher came up to Bobby and apologized to her. And actually, this wasn't just Bethany. She got two other girls to go in on it with her. And the other one was a pastor's kid. And so she got two of her friends to go in on this whole thing. And so the teacher comes up to Bobby and says, you know, I'm really sorry. I didn't know that Steve didn't want us given homework on Wednesday. And Bobby goes, what? And she goes, yeah, you know, Bethany and the other girls, she told me that you guys have youth group and you have, you know, you have church and it's too hard for them to do the homework on Wednesday. And so Steve was upset because I was giving out homework on Wednesday. And when Bobby found that out, she was like, oh, told the teacher the truth about the whole thing and then went and got me. Well, after I heard the whole thing, I kind of thought, you know what, that's probably a good idea. Kids are coming to youth group. Maybe we shouldn't be passing out a bunch of homework on Wednesdays and stuff like that. But that's neither here nor there. Bethany got in trouble at that point. A little sneaky, sneaky little girl. Yeah, she's smart. And so, you know, that was my first inkling that that's where she was at, because up until this point, she'd been pretty compliant. And then she got sneakier as time went on. You know, tried to get sneakier. I grew up in a heathen home. How sneaky can you be with a dad who grew up in a heathen home? And so she thought she was getting away with all kinds of stuff, and she wasn't. In any case, kids are sinners, and they grow up sinners. And what has to happen is they have to be trained not to be selfish. And then when we become Christians, we've got to deal with the whole sin issue in our life. And God deals with it by taking it away in the sense of forgiving us for our sin. But then there's a cleansing and a purifying that needs to take place over time as we take and yield our lives to the Holy Spirit. If you yield yourself to your flesh, of your flesh, the Bible says, you're going to reap corruption. But if you yield your life to the Holy Spirit, you're going to be reaping life. And that's the way that we get past all this nonsense. Well, one of the things that had to happen with Jesus is he had to be sinless. And so how are you going to have somebody who's human, and Jesus was human, be born sinless? And the way that you do that is by a miraculous birth. And so that's why we celebrate Christmas. It's the incarnation of God in human form, Jesus. It's the incarnation of Christ. And we're celebrating his birth because you see the celebration of his birth in the book of Luke and in the book of Matthew. Angels were celebrating the birth of Christ when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And so that's one of the reasons that we do that. But when the angel appeared to Mary and talked about Mary getting pregnant, Mary goes, "I've never known a man." And she's talking about, I've never had physical relations with a man. I'm not married. And so she goes, "How can these things be?" And the angel Gabriel says that the Holy Spirit was going to overshadow her. And so that holy thing that was born of her was going to be the Son of God. And so the virgin birth is specifically in the Bible, and it was specifically done by God in this instance to separate Jesus from the mass of humanity, because nobody else is born of a virgin, right? Everybody else gets born in exactly the same way that people before them were born. And so there is a necessity of bypassing original sin. And that's what the virgin birth accomplishes. Okay, so now when you're talking about this, Jesus is going to be born of Mary. How is he going to not take part in the original sin that Mary is part of? Because Mary's a sinner too. Now, if you came from a Catholic background, you know that they have the Immaculate Conception. Yeah, thanks. Non-Catholics usually think that they're talking about Jesus. That's not talking about Jesus. That's talking about Mary. And so the Catholics knew that there's a problem with original sin. And so Jesus is born of Mary. And so how can Jesus not be a sinner if he's born of Mary? And so what they did was they went back one generation and they said that God overshadowed Mary's mother and father. And so Mary, when she was born, had no sin in her. Now, the Bible doesn't teach any of that. There's none of that in Scripture. And in fact, Mary herself said she was in need of a Savior in Luke chapter 2. So you go through the Magnificat, where Mary's going through and glorifying God. She makes it clear that she needs a Savior. And so she's a sinner just like anybody else. And so you still got the problem. And so what the Catholics tried to do is they tried to put it back one generation, but we've still got that issue. So how can Jesus be born of Mary and not be a sinner? And so one of the things that people come up with is that, when they're thinking about the birth of Jesus, they're like, okay, he's born of Mary, therefore Mary has to be involved in this whole thing. So there's a physicality between Jesus and Mary. And so God must have used Mary's egg. So God uses Mary's egg, and then he puts something in Mary's egg, because Mary's egg, you guys know your biology? It only has half the DNA, okay? And so half the chromosomes specifically. And so when you have an egg, you also have the sperm, and those two things come together, and that's how you get a complete human. And so theologians want to make Jesus human. And so they use Mary's egg to do that. But what you got is somebody who's half human, and then the other half is what? And that would be specially created genetic material. Right? If that's how God did it, specially created genetic material. And so Jesus is half human. Does that work? Okay. So another option is that God can actually use Mary's flesh. So he can take Mary's DNA, all of Mary's DNA, because she's got a whole gamut of DNA, right? So she can take Mary's DNA, use Mary's DNA to make Jesus. And now what we have is somebody, what do you call that? When you take somebody's DNA, you make another thing out of it. They've done this with sheep. That's a clone. So is Jesus a clone of Mary? And when you get into the biology, it gets difficult at that point. You know, when you get into the biology. One of the things that, and when you're talking about this stuff, whether you're talking about Mary's egg and him, Jesus being half human, or you're talking about Mary's DNA, and he would be a clone at that point, you're not bypassing sin. You're not bypassing original sin at that point, because Mary's got original sin in her. So again, how did God do it? And God could do it any way that he wants to. He can do whatever he wants, right? And he can just take Mary's DNA, make it whatever he wants, cleanse it, do that kind of stuff inside of her. I admit that he can do that. And you know, the half egg and half whatever is a little problematic for me, because you're only half human at that point and half newly created. But you know, whatever, God can do whatever he wants with this whole thing. But again, if you're just going, you know, scientifically, you're not bypassing the problem. It's not doing it. Jewish tradition concerning a birth of a child is that any child that is born of a Jewish woman is Jewish. And any child that is born of a Gentile woman and a Jewish man is not Jewish. So you can have a Gentile man and a Jewish woman, and they have a baby. That child is Jewish, according to rabbinic law. If you have a Gentile woman and a Jewish man, and they have a baby, that baby needs to be converted to Judaism if they're going to grow up a Jew. And so they have to go through that whole process. And so rabbinically, Jesus got his body from his mom. What the Jews taught is that that person got their body from their mother, and that they got their spirit from their father. Which is really interesting, because God has this habit of going through and using Jewish traditions, even the traditions, to point to Christ. And so who was Jesus' real father? It's God the Father. And so Jesus did have a mother, and that mother was Mary. In any case, from the point of view of a Jew, Jesus is human just because he was born of Mary. Not because he has Mary's DNA, not because he has half of Mary's DNA. That's not why he's human. He's human because he's born of Mary. And so what I'm submitting to you here is that what this passage says, and what Paul did, was he took this passage again from the Septuagint. Part of the reason that he's doing this is because it says body. And a body God prepared. It's a body that God prepared. And so when I went through and I was looking at this whole thing, when you're looking at the humanity of Christ from a Jewish perspective, that humanity does not come from conception. That humanity comes from birth. There is a conception, they believe in this, but the humanity itself, whether or not he's Jewish specifically, comes from the birth, specifically in that he's born of a Jewish mom. So, the Bible here says that God prepared a body. In the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, Jesus is called the last Adam, or the second Adam. And so the first Adam brings in sin, the second Adam brings in everlasting righteousness. How was the first Adam made? Yeah, he was made out of the dust, right? Is he human? Yeah, he's human. God made him. God made him human, right? How was the first woman made? Out of the man's side. That's interesting. How'd that one work biologically? Is she a clone of Adam? That gets all weird. So God had to be doing something there. He was involved in that whole thing, you know, taking the chromosomes and changing things and doing that kind of stuff. And so this is where my head goes when I read these passages. In any case, the first Adam was a created being. There's no reason the second Adam can't be a created being. There's no reason that God can't take a human body and place it inside of Mary and make the body without sin. And ultimately, that's what we get. And that's the point of the virgin birth, that God did something special here that Jesus is different from anybody else. He didn't come to the earth in the same way that anybody else did. He's different. And the guy's without sin from birth. And so that's really the point. So God could have made a body, placed it within Mary. He could have used some other method. I don't know what the method is, but what this passage says is a body you have prepared for me. That's what it says. And so however God did the preparing, God did that whole thing. He bypasses original sin. Here's another thing with this whole thing. I've gone through, and because I'm like this, I'm thinking about the virgin birth and how God did it. I went through every passage in the Bible that talks about Mary's conception, and it never says that the thing that is conceived in you or conceived through you, I'm saying that wrong. It never says that the thing that is in you is conceived of you or through you. It only says that which is conceived in you. And so there's a conception. God placed Christ inside of her, but there's not a passage that you can go to that says that the body of Jesus came from Mary specifically, came from her genome. And so he says here, a body you have prepared for me, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. And so there's an obedience that comes through Christ. And this is a prophecy about the obedience specifically of Jesus. God desires obedience. And Christ was perfectly obedient from the time of his birth to the time of his death. Here's another thing with this. And when you're thinking about the incarnation, there have been questions historically. I'm not going to get into a bunch of church history stuff, but I'm just going to raise some issues with you. There were questions historically about whether Jesus actually was somebody that was fully human, in the sense of, did he have a human personality? Did he have a human will? And so one of the things that we say about the incarnation sometimes, I've even said this when you're talking about Jesus, he's God in a bod. Okay, so Jesus is God, and he is inside the body that was born of Mary, right? But Jesus was actually human and all the way human. So one of the big issues in church history was whether or not Jesus had a will that was separate from the Father. Because when you're talking about Christ in heaven, when you're talking about the Word in heaven before the Word is made flesh, or when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, they are totally and completely one. So there's no distinction between the will of the Son and the will of the Father when you're talking about in heaven, pre-incarnation. There's no distinction. They're exactly the same. You can't have a difference between the two. And it's the same thing with the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit and the Son, okay? But when you get Jesus to earth, when you're talking about a human has three parts. And so basically there is the flesh, and we've just been talking about Jesus's flesh, and then there is the spirit, the part of him that communes with God, and then there's the psyche or the soul. And the soul, basically, when you go through and you divvy things up, and I'm playing fast and loose with this, you guys, soul and spirit are real tight as you go through the Bible. But when you're talking about the psyche is the seat of man's will. And so did Jesus, when he was on earth, have a human will? Is one of the questions. And so what these guys did, actually all these things come up because somebody comes along and starts teaching something that makes Christians go, you know? And there were guys who had a misconception about the incarnation of Christ, saying that God was in Jesus and there was no opportunity for him to separate his will from the Father. He couldn't do it. Well, that has some implications with the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and These things can get huge, depending on where you go with them. But is there any instance of Jesus saying, I have a different desire than you do, Father? Is there any instance of that in the Bible? Yeah. Where is it? Yeah, it's in the garden. That's where you can see that Jesus is absolutely human. So he goes, Father, if there's any other way, let's do that. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. And right there, what you have is Jesus in his humanity speaking to the Father. And so you got this weird thing when you're talking about the incarnation. You have literally God incarnate in Christ. And so Jesus is fully God, even when he's here on the earth. He's limited himself, according to Philippians chapter 2, because he's taken on human flesh, but he's literally God when he's here on the earth, and yet he has a human will. He actually did humanity in all of it. And so one of the problems that I used to have with the Lord when I'm going through sin or I'm lonely and I want a wife and things like that. These are things that I would say to God. God, you know, it's like, I know that I'm supposed to be satisfied with you, but I need somebody that I can touch and, you know, that kind of stuff. And people would talk to me and say, you know what, Steve, you got Jesus and Jesus gets you. He understands. And I never thought that he really did because he's God in a body. And this stuff was easy for him. And that actually is not what you see in the Gospels. You don't see Jesus having this wonderfully easy time. There are times when he's bummed out. There's times when he's angry. There's times when he's grieved. You see all these different emotions that are coming from him, and he's not going through the human thing untouched. And we've talked about that before. When I think of God coming down in humanity, I have this tendency to think humanity's not so bad because I'm a human. But if I take it and I start putting it, you know, in other terms, you know, like if God told me to become a pig to reach the pigs, I wouldn't like that so much. I don't want to be a pig. I don't want to do what pigs do. I like pigs. I think they're fun and hilarious and that kind of stuff, but I'd rather not. And that's not even comparable. You can get more intense and go, you know, God wants to reach the maggots. And so, Steve, can you become a maggot? I don't want to be a maggot, you know. And that's one creation to another creation. I'm created, a maggot is created. And yet, because of the distinction there, I don't want to do that. Jesus is uncreated. And he's coming down to the earth. And he has to do all the stuff that we do. And we talk about that every Christmas, so I'm not going to belabor that. In any case, Jesus comes to do God's will. I want you to notice verse 7 again here. It says, then I said, behold, I have come. And then he puts a little parenthesis in there. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. This goes right along with that scripture that I quoted earlier from John chapter 5, where he said, you're searching the scriptures for in them, and you think they have you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. This is another passage that says this. The volume of the book is written of Jesus. And so anytime you're going through the Old Testament, you're wondering, you're like, why are they doing this? What is going on here? And especially when you're in Leviticus or Numbers or passages like that, you're wondering why God set up certain rules and certain laws, that kind of thing. One of the things that will help you out is just start plugging Jesus in there. And so when you're talking about the different sacrifices, these are all things that point to Jesus. And so you have the whole burnt offering because Jesus offered himself wholly to the Lord.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.